Our text for this morning is taken from Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And verse 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And here the word of God reads, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." The topic of my sermon this morning is "No Bible, No Reformation." No Bible, No Reformation, which is a restatement of the text that we have just read. In Acts 6 verse 7, the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Many lives were changed, were transformed, and even reformed by the word of God. When the word of God is promoted, surely the church will grow. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. No Bible, no Reformation. And this morning we remember the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And when we remember the Reformation, we are remembering the Bible. The Reformation was all about the Bible and the Christ of the Holy Scriptures. It's important for us to know that Christianity is a religion of the book. And the book is none other than the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, which tells us of the only way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says, no one can get to heaven except by Him. In John 14, verse 6, there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And it's only in the name of Jesus Christ that we can find and see eternal life and find the forgiveness of sins. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith, dear friends, is not blind faith. We don't take a leap of faith. When you take a leap of faith, you leap into something that is blind or something that is nothing at all. We take a step of faith as believers. Not a leap of faith, a step of faith. For when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is truth. We have not believed in a lie. We have believed in the truth. And Jesus is the truth, and the word of God is the truth. You know, there was a time when the apostles of Jesus Christ were distracted from their spiritual duty of feeding the church with the word of God. That was because in a time when many got converted, and the church in Jerusalem grew, and the church in Jerusalem was a poor church, with many poor members needing to be sustained physically. And so the apostles not only busied themselves in preaching the word of God and teaching the word of God, they had also to busy themselves in dispensing funds and taking care of the physical needs of the people, so much so that they had neglected their spiritual duty. And the apostles realized that this will not do. The word of God is paramount and vital, and they must return to this primary duty of feeding the church with the word of God. And so in Acts chapter 6 verse 2, we read the apostles saying, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." And so what did they do? Well, the apostles appointed deacons in the church to take care of the physical administration of the church, so that they might concentrate on their spiritual duty of preaching and teaching God's word. And so in verse 4, the apostles gave themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And when this was put in place, and when the church was set in order, and the apostles spent a whole lot of time preaching and teaching God's word, and when God's word was promoted, the Lord gave further increase and growth in the church. That is the pattern, the infallible pattern of church growth. Today, many churches employ worldly methods in growing their church. Yes, their church may grow, but how many of the members in the church are true believers? That's a big question mark. We find the world in the church today and the church in the world. In the days of great trials and persecutions, in the days of the apostolic church, there was a focus on the Word of God. The Word of God was magnified, and the church grew accordingly. And surely the growth was true growth, with true members. Those truly born again became members of the church when there was an intensive, systematic study of God's Word. And so many of the priests even got saved. Because these priests, the Jewish priests, had many questions from the Bible. And surely the apostles had to spend time. It's not just an hour or two. I'm sure they spent a lot of hours studying the Bible with these priests who had many questions. They knew the scriptures. And was Jesus truly our Messiah? And surely the apostles might have gone through the whole Old Testament with them, from Genesis to Malachi, to tell them, indeed, Jesus was the promised Messiah. According to the scriptures, he died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. And you must believe on him in order to be saved. And many of these priests, and some of them may have cried out, crucify him at that time, now repented of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A great time of conversion and revival and reformation even in the early church at that time, because the Word of God was being promoted. So we see then that when the Bible is promoted, the church prospers. And Satan knows this very well. And so the devil, from the very beginning, has always sought to undermine and, if possible, destroy the Word of God, or take it away from God's people, so that they might suffer and be blinded without the Word. Did not Satan even in the very beginning at the Garden of Eden cast doubt on God's Word? Yea, hath God said? Spinning lies to confuse and to destroy the faith of the believers. And so in the days of the Dark Ages, that was what Satan did. Satan kept the Bible away from the people. Without the Bible, the people would be lost and would be blind. Without the light of God's word, people would be groping in darkness, not knowing the truth. And they will be bound by the superstition and the idolatry of men. And they will live in fear of men, not of God. And so in the Dark Ages, the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope and the priests kept the Bible away from the people. They say the Bible only belongs to us, not to you. And only we have the right to read the scriptures and to interpret the scriptures for you. You cannot read the scriptures for yourself. And of course, they will come up with their own interpretations or misinterpretations and misapplications of the scriptures, inventing their own doctrines and practices to bind the people so that they might continue to live in superstition and idolatry, and by so doing also to line their own pockets. And they preach the doctrines of devils. And these people, the clergy, Their God is their belly, according to Paul in Philippians 3 verse 9. And John Calvin added, whose religion is their kitchen. And someone has rightly observed, the church before the Reformation was a church without the Bible. And a church without a Bible is as useless as a lighthouse without light, a candlestick without a candle, or a motor car without an engine. How true. How we thank God that God remembers His people and to put the Bible back into the hands of the people. They might know the truth. The truth will set them free. So we praise God for the 16th century Protestant Reformation, without which we would still be in Roman Catholic bondage and idolatry, without which we would not be having the Bible in our very own hands today. And the Bible is indeed a crucial and vital factor for the success of the Protestant Reformation. And in the fullness of time, God put the Bible back into the hands of the people, and the church was reformed. And the Word of God must increase, according to Acts 6 verse 7. The Word of God must increase for the church to revive and to reform. So how did the Word of God increase during the days of the Reformation? Firstly, the Word of God increased in the days of the Reformation by the preaching of the Word. By the preaching of the Word. There was a whole lot of preaching in the days of the Reformation. The Word of God increased when the Lord in the 12th century raised up the Waldenses to distribute Bibles and gospel tracts and to evangelize and preach the gospel to the people. This happened. The Reformation happened as early as in the 12th century. The Lord raised up this group of people called the Waldenses. Now, the Waldenses were named after Peter Waldo. Now, Peter Waldo was a rich businessman, and he wanted to know the truth for himself. He wanted to read the Bible for himself. And so what he do at that time, well, he employed a priest to translate the scriptures from Latin to French. And so, now in those days, not easy to translate the Bible, even to make a copy of the Bible. It was a very expensive affair. But he had the money. He was a rich businessman. And so he got someone to translate the scriptures for him from Latin to French so that he could read it for himself. And when Peter Waldo read the scriptures, he was so delighted to find the truth that salvation is not by works, but by faith and by faith alone, by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was born again. And after he got born again, he was so happy. And I'm sure this was an experience that you must have also in a day when the Lord saved you. When you got saved, you were so happy. And if you're so happy of the good news that you had received, what would you do? You want to share it with others, isn't it? This good news. Well, that was what happened to Peter Waldo. He wanted to share this good news of salvation in Lord Jesus Christ to others. And so he organized a society. And the society was called the Poor Men of Lyon. Poor Men of Lyon. And they were also known as the Waldenses. Right? And these poor men of Lyon, the Waldenses, went out preaching the gospel and distributing Bible portions and gospel tracts. Peter Waldo was the one who sent them out two by two according to the pattern of Jesus. He sent these poor men out two by two, and they worked as peddlers and hawkers. And at the same time, right, they were selling knickknacks and whatnot, they also were distributing gospel portions, gospel tracts to people who bought things from them. And by so doing, the gospel spread and many found the truth and got saved. Of course, when this happened, the Roman Catholic Church became very angry. And so what happened? The Roman Catholic Church in 1229, in the Council of Valencia, classed and put the Bible as one of the forbidden books. People are banned from reading the Bible and for owning the Bible. You cannot read the Bible. You cannot have possession of the Bible. The Bible is placed among the forbidden books in the Roman Catholic Church. And no one was allowed to read the Bible except the priest. And what happened to the Waldenses? Well, they were hunted down by the Roman Catholic Church, and many of them were tortured and executed for their faith. They suffered, and even suffered unto death for the Lord Jesus Christ. And besides the Waldenses, in the 14th century, God raised up another group of pastors. And they were known as the Lollards, the Lollards. And they also spread the gospel and preached the truth. They were evangelists. And the Lollards, these group of evangelists and pastors, traveled all over the place using Wycliffe's translation of the Bible. And they preached the word of God to the common folk. And for reading the Bible and preaching the gospel to the people, and of course, again, with the preaching of God's word, with the increase of God's word, the people, many people got saved. And of course, they faced the wrath of the Roman Church as well. The Lollards, many of them were burned to death by the Roman Catholic Church. Well, as Martin Luther says, the body they may kill, but his truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Can never, never destroy the church. And you can never, never destroy the gospel. The Lord Jesus had already said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we must keep on evangelizing. We're thankful that the Far Eastern Bible College, every Wednesday afternoon, the students will go out for evangelism. And in True Life, once a month, there will be evangelism. The evangelistic band will be going out this afternoon to distribute tracts, going door to door. And we are following after good traditions set by the Lord Jesus himself and by all these faithful men, the Waldenses, as well as the Lollards. So how thankful we are for this. So the word of God increased in the days of the Reformation through the preaching of the word. And not only through the preaching of the word of God increased also through the translating of the word. Now, in the 14th century, the Lord raised up John Wycliffe. Now, Wycliffe realized that the best way of freeing the people from the shackles of Rome was to let the people read the Bible for themselves. The truth must not be hid from them. It must be given out to them, and the Bible must not be a closed book, it must be an open book. And so Wycliffe took on this challenge and task to translate the scriptures into English. And the translation was done not from the Hebrew and Greek, because Wycliffe didn't know the biblical languages. So he translated the Bible from the Latin, from the Vulgate, from Latin to English. Now, though Wycliffe's translation was, you know, not as accurate as we want it to be, since it was translated from a translation itself, the Latin Vulgate, instead of the original scriptures, nonetheless, in the providence of God, it was faithful and accurate enough that the Lord had used Wycliffe's Bible mightily to convert many a soul to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To fulfill God's purpose, at last, the English people could have the Bible in their hands and read the gospel for themselves. And when the word of God increased, the church also grew. Many were converted. So Wycliffe's Bible spearheaded the Reformation movement, which led many to reject the falsehoods of the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, when you do such a thing and people get saved, God's kingdom advances and kingdom Satan is defeated, what happens? Satan becomes very angry. And the Roman Catholic Church was equally angry, and they hated John Wycliffe. And they hated John Wycliffe so much so that 40 years after he died, on the 40th anniversary of Wycliffe's death, they sought to dishonor him by digging up his bones. So they dug up his grave, took his bones, burned his bones, ground the bones into ashes, and threw the ashes into the River Swift to wipe out all memory of John Wycliffe. While God would see to it that such a disgraceful act by wicked men would serve only to hasten the Reformation. You know, the miraculous thing is this. The more you try to destroy God's word, the more God's word become what? Stronger and stronger. More and more promoted. When you seek to destroy the church does not become weaker and weaker. It becomes stronger and stronger. When you kill more and more of the saints, of the believers, the membership does not decrease, but rather increase. And surely, this is not the work of man. It is the work of Almighty God. And so, what the Roman Catholic Church did served only to hasten the Reformation instead of deterring it. So the more the truth is opposed and oppressed, the more it will flourish and progress. The truth cannot be snuffed out. And so the Lord raised up William Tyndale. After Wycliffe, the Lord raised up Tyndale. And he lived in the years 1494 to 1536. And Tyndale was a scholar of the Hebrew and Greek scriptures, having studied in Oxford and Cambridge. And seeing how the priests were so ignorant in those days concerning the scriptures, and how the people were so lost without God's word, he was burdened in his heart to translate the scriptures into English from the original languages, from the Hebrew and the Greek Bible. And he completed translating the New Testament in 1525, and that was when he was 30 years old. At 30 years of age, he had completed translating the whole New Testament. And 15,000 copies of Tyndale's New Testament were printed and distributed in England. And the Church of England at that time was under the Roman Catholic Church. And the Church of England at that time refused the people from reading the English New Testament that Tyndale had translated. And the church burned every copy of Tyndale's Bible, every copy that they could find. And for translating the scriptures, the church branded Tyndale a criminal. So he was arrested and put into prison. And Tyndale was finally sentenced to death. And he was strangled and burned at the stake. You know, Tyndale was ready to die for the Lord and for the Word of God. He had no fear. And he said this was his testimony. He said these words, "That light over all thy darkness, Rome, in triumph might arise, and exile freely I become, freely a sacrifice." He was willing to offer his life for the Lord and for the sake of the faith. And his dying words were these, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." He prayed that the English king, his eyes might be opened. And the Lord heard Tyndale's prayer. For the eyes of the king were finally opened a decade later after Tyndale died, when the Church of England broke away from the Roman Catholic Church. And this led to the translation of the greatest English Bible that was ever produced, namely the Authorized Version or the King James Bible in 1611. And a whole lot of the King James Bible, which you are reading right now, which you hold in your hands, a whole lot of the King James Bible came from Tyndale's Bible. So when you read the King James Version, you're reading a whole lot of Tyndale's work. This faithful man of God who died for his faith, who suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ, surely he was a faithful and courageous servant of God, a true believer indeed, and the Lord used him. And so the King James Bible since 1611 has stood the test of time, time-tested and time-honored. And the Lord used this Bible to save many millions all over the world for nearly 400 years already. It's still well-loved, loved by us, and still well-used today by Bible-believing and Bible-defending Christians who are faithful to the good old paths and to the good old faith. So seek not new paths, dear friends. Go back to the old paths, the old ways, the good old faith, the Protestant faith, a good old book, which is the preserved Hebrew Masoretic text and Greek Textus Receptus, the received text that underlies the Reformation Bible, the authorized version of the King James Bible. And let us stand fast on this faith and on this book, which is most accurately translated, most faithful, most reliable, most beautiful English Bible ever produced. With all the doctrines kept intact, that we might know the whole counsel of God. Let us also reject the modern versions today that are based upon heretical and corrupted texts produced by two theological liberals, Wesco and Hort, with many verses missing and verses, words changed, that undermine the deity of Christ and the inerrancy of Scripture. Wesco and Hort were liberals. They did not believe in the first three chapters of Genesis. They wrote off the first three chapters of Genesis as a myth. They changed 2 Timothy 3:16 and make that proof text for the inspiration of Scriptures to be something that is of limited inerrancy. Only some parts of the Bible, right, is infallible, inerrant, inspired. Other parts, they are not. And how can we trust in their work? And that's why we take a stand against the modernistic and the corrupted texts today. Not only did the Word of God increase by preaching and translating, but also the Word of God increased when the Word of God was being printed. The Word of God was being printed. The printing of the Word, by the providence of God, the printing press was invented in the 15th century. And the printing press became a catalyst. It sped up the work of the Protestant Reformation, because now the Word of God can be printed very quickly and distributed very widely. So in 1440, Johann Gutenberg invented the movable type printing press. And this meant that multiple copies of the Bible could be printed easily and quickly and accurately. And gospel tracts could also be printed easily, so that there could be mass distribution of the Word of God to all over the European continent and put in the hands of the common folk, that they might know the truth. So it was no surprise then that the first book that was printed or published, the first book to be published, was the most important book in the world, the Holy Bible, and was called the Gutenberg Bible, named after the inventor of the movable type printing press. The Gutenberg Bible was printed. It was in Latin, and it was the first book to be printed in Europe. 180 copies were printed, and 50 of them survive till this day. Now, before the printing press, the Bible could only be reproduced. Copies were made by being painstakingly handwritten, right, word by word, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, page by page, which was very labor-intensive, very laborious process, very time-consuming, and also very expensive to do. Just to produce one copy of the Bible, it will take at least 10 months to just produce one copy of the Bible. And even when that copy is produced, you know, you want to buy it, it will cost you how much? Well, in those days, you want to buy a copy of the Bible, it will cost you 5,000 chickens. 5,000 chickens. How much would that cost today? You know, one plate of chicken rice is already about $3. And you have one whole chicken. Let's say one whole chicken is $10. 5,000 chickens will cost you how much for one Bible, one copy? $50,000. A whole lot of money. People cannot afford. Right? And so the Lord made sure that this printing press would be invented in the most opportune time, in the 15th century, right, so that the Reformation would really take effect. The Word of God would be distributed widely. And so with the printing press, the Bible could be printed very quickly and also very cheaply. And the Bible is not only for the rich, but also for the poor. Not only for the old, but also for the young. And so there was mass distribution of the scriptures. People read the gospel, found the gospel, and got saved. All by the providence of God. So to date, 6 billion copies, 6 billion copies of the Bible have already been printed and distributed. I'm sure this will go on until Jesus returns. And of course, many more gospel tracts and pamphlets containing God's word and the gospel. And Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And how we thank God that the Bible has also been translated into many languages of the world. And the gospel message itself has been translated into many languages of the world. I believe over 2,000 languages. So the Bible has gone out into the world. And the gospel also proclaimed throughout the world. Thank God for the printing press. And today with all kinds of mass means of communication, the gospel is being spread far and wide as well. There's no question that the Bible in the hands of the people was one important reason and cause of the Reformation. And the true light of God, by the illumination of the Spirit, shone in the hearts of His elect and of His saints. And they saw and understood the truth in all its fullness, which freed them from the bondage of superstitious idolatry of the Roman Catholic Church. Let us not forget the 16th century Reformation and the good work and the faithful work of all the saints at that time, the faithful servants of God who paid with their lives to give us this Bible that we now have in our hands and can read and study for ourselves, that we might not be superstitious people, but people with God's understanding from His Word, so that we might live a victorious Christian life, full of faith and full of hope in this very dark and sinful world, filled with unbelief and evil and wickedness, and to hasten the second coming of the Lord. And we believe that the Lord is coming back very soon. Seeing the apostasy and the falling away of the times, and how there are so many false Christs and false prophets today. Let us keep on preaching. Let us keep on defending the Word of God. For if there is no Bible, if the Bible is taken away from us, and if the Bible is corrupted, then our foundation is taken away from us. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can do nothing at all. It's only when we have a solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ and His infallible word, can we do much for the Lord by His strength and by His grace. So the church was reborn and reformed. No information, no reformation, no Bible, no revival. May the Lord help us understand this. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, O Lord, that through this word that You have given to us, this book that comes from Thee, from heaven itself, tells us of a perfect Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be right with Thee, which is by faith and by faith alone and not by works. O Lord, help us never to forget thy work in the days of the Reformation, when many are falling away from the faith, compromising the faith, betraying even the faith and returning back to the Roman fold, still filled and full of darkness. Help us, Lord, to walk in the narrow way, to be thy remnant people, and not in the broad way that leads to destruction, but the narrow way that leads to life. Help us to remember the faith of our fathers, for the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And if we do suffer for thee, we thank thee for this privilege you have given to us, to suffer for Christ's sake. Help us to deny ourselves, to take up thy cross of suffering, to follow thee, even until the very end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.